is what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide.
Hallelujah. Great morning. Hallelujah. Yes, he is a good father. He is a great father. He is our dad. He's been amazing. As in, oh, dear Lord. I'm not saying this, you know, just because I need to say something to you this morning. I'm saying this because the more one gains a revelation and an understanding, you know, of the goodness of God, it is quite amazing. It is quite amazing. I can imagine, you know, why, or, you know, well, I can't completely imagine it yet, but I could try to imagine why Dr. Billy Brim would just, you know, love to say, oh, what a planner, oh, what a plan. You know, it's just exciting when you see God's word, when you see things unfold, you're like, hey, whoa, what a planner, what a plan. Hallelujah. Welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to your morning freshness, your morning faith boost. I believe we're having a great time this week. I welcome you to a new week, to a new month. All right, to the sixth month of this year. I believe it will be faith-filled. It will be full, you know, of revelation. And revelation, or should I say revelations, you know, there are things that change our lives. You know, many times we pursue the material, the natural, the mundane, but we ought to go for revelation. It changes everything. It changes. I mean, a revelation on health sorts the health issue. A revelation on financial abundance and prosperity sorts it. A revelation, you know, on tongues and interpretation. It just, you know, because we think we have revelations on them, you know, but the more you just look into the word and the more the Holy Ghost shows you, just like, oh, wow, oh, wow. And I've shared with us, you know, that someone like Kenneth Copeland, was reading Galatians 3, and he ran over to his wife screaming, "Glory, Gloria, we're rich, we're rich." And all he had in his hand was his Bible. And then he sat with her and explained, you know, Christ has allowed now the blessing of Abraham to come upon the Gentiles. I mean, you could wonder, someone screaming, "We're rich." Maybe he wants to, well, in our own modern day, you know, he wants to show you a bank alert. You know, he wants to show you an email, wants to show you something he got. No, he should have the word. You know, someone would have been like, "Oh, is it just the Bible?" No, that's the thing. It's not just the Bible. It's the book of Revelations. Hallelujah. And then God opens the eyes of understanding to see his will. And when we catch it, we catch it. And there's something about Revelation. When it's yours, it's yours. You know, Jesus said concerning Mary to Martha, then Mary has found this thing. Nobody can take it away from her. When you get it, you get it. Oh, hallelujah. So glory to God. Good morning and welcome once again. So last week we talked about being the authentic seed of Abraham, and it's given birth, all right, to the series we're running right now. Very exciting series, The Gifts of God. We're going to pick one gift per week, you know, but allow me, you know, today just talk about the gifts, all right? Just maybe do, you know, a proper intro again into the series. We mentioned the gifts, you know, in conclusion, you know, where last Friday's teaching, last week's series was concerned. So we're mentioning the gifts properly now in conclusion. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Galatians chapter 3, we see straight up in the 13th verse of Galatians chapter 3 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So picking this from the NLT says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So you have to understand, when you read King James, you know, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, you know, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I've had to teach over the years that this looks like, you know, the promised Holy Spirit. But yet again, if you just read it, it looks like the promise that the Spirit made. You know, but I go for the promise of the Spirit. Now, NLT, TPT, you know, they make it a lot more clearer, you know. A lot more clear. Like NIV, for instance, says, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." But I think it's still clear there. Of course, it sounds like the promise of Spirit, like promise the Spirit made, you know, but the promise of Spirit, of the promise of the Spirit, like the Spirit himself, you know, is the promise. You know, God's word, all right, says that so that the blessed promise, I mean, so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to all people of the world through Jesus Christ, and we would receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit through faith. Receive the promised through faith. Amplify, it says, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might also come on again, so that we would receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. So depends on how you want to read that. Sounds like, okay, the Holy Ghost, you know, made you a promise. But that's not it. Okay, so I'm trying to make it clearer for you. I've seen that even with the King James, you know, for those of us that are King James people more, you know, but look at the NLT. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. All right, Passion Translation says, "Jesus our Messiah was cursed in our place, and in doing so dissolved the curse from our lives, so that all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out," hallelujah, "upon even non-Jewish believers. And now God gives us the promise of a wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in Him. So these make it clear. These make it clear to us that the Holy Ghost was the promise. God promised Abraham. All right, so the blessing. So when we talk about the blessing of Abraham in its fullness, it is not material. I'll say that again. When we talk about the blessing of Abraham in its fullness, in its totality, in the completeness of the package, this is not anything material. All right, because God wasn't talking to Abraham about something he would even receive in his lifetime. God just wasn't talking to Abraham, I'm going to make you famous. Oh, your business will be famous. Everybody would like to come and buy from you. You know, and all that. That wasn't the totality because, dear Lord Jesus. Verse 8 of this same Galatians chapter 3 says, and the scripture, right, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the scripture seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That means God, when he picked Abraham to leave his father's house, had the gospel in mind. When God told Abraham, I'm going to show you a place, had the gospel in mind. All right, so the double interpretation comes in here. So you see God talk to Abraham about his seed, and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, you know, and the rest of them come to mind. We see God talk to Abraham about the land, and then we see God talk to Isaac about the land, and we see God talking to all of them about the land, even, you know, and then we see Moses now bringing them into the land, to the edge of the land, as it were, and then we see Joshua now dividing the land unto them, and only for us to come realize that, hey, that physical Canaan was not the fullness of the blessing. All right? Have you taken our time to read the book of Galatians? It's wonderfully amazing. See, Bible even lets us know in Galatians chapter 4 that there are two Jerusalems. All right? it's interesting. Really interesting. You know? Oh, dear Lord. Let me just quickly pick that. Galatians chapter 4. All right? Let's see. Because there's double interpretation, you know, here also. King James or NLT? Let me do NLT for those of us that might be of help too. Or Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 says, tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? 22 now. The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freedom wife. So two wives, slave wife, freedom wife. You know, so many times they're like, oh, when did he even get married to Hagar? The Bible calls her wife. 23. The son of the slave wife, please follow this, was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. And very many times, you know, we try to help God out, you know, try to do something for God, try to help human attempt. Be careful of that so you don't give birth to an Ishmael, all right? You want to help God with something, you know? No, you know, and there could be too many Ishmaels that we've just given birth to in time past, all right? The son of the slave woman was born in an attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise, but the son of the freedom woman was born as God's own fulfillment of his own promise, all right? 24, these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. See, double interpretation. I mean, Sarah says, take Hagar, my slave. Abraham takes Hagar, her slave. And then suddenly we come into the New Testament. We're told double interpretation is going on. All right. So these two women, 24 again, serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. So the law didn't make anybody free. The law was bondage. All right, known in Acts 15, you know, when they came to Jerusalem, you know, to discuss, you know, the persecution that Paul, you know, and his team, Paul, Barnabas, them, had been facing in the hands of the Jews, and how that, you know, those, the circumcision party were saying, yes, we agree that people should be born again, but they need to obey the law of Moses. They need to be circumcised. I mean, the apostles had to say, listen, why put on these people a burden that even our fathers could not bear? So the law was bondage, all right? But we'll get there. We'll get there sometime. Maybe next week, all right? You know, these two men serve as the illustration of two covenants. The first Haggai represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like, all right, Mount Sinai in Arabia. So Haggai is Mount Sinai. Now Jerusalem is Mount Sinai. That means Jerusalem itself now is in bondage. That's what Paul is saying here. All right. And now Jerusalem is like, that's Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. To the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is a free woman. She is our mother. So there are two Jerusalems now. All right. And don't be confused about it. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, Hebrews 12. Let me run there quickly. Hebrews chapter 12. And, you know, the 22nd verse of Hebrews 12, reading the NLT, says, "No, you have come to Mount Zion." You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. That's where you've come. The moment you got born again, you were brought into Zion. So thank God, you know, it'll be wonderful. I don't mind, you know, someday, you know, soon enough, taking a trip to Jerusalem, having a view, you know, of everything there. But I'm not going there to try to now act like a Jew. I'm not going to get to the Wailing Wall and want to wail and say it's a place of prayer. You know, I'm not going to get to the tomb of Jesus and say, "Man, prayers are answered here." No, Jesus did not say, "Come to my tomb to pray." He said, "If you pray in my name and then you pray to the Father, it will be done unto you." So we've got to understand and stick to the word. That Jerusalem, Bible says, is in bondage. Why? Because they are still trying to stick to the law. They are trying to do the law. So there are two Jerusalems. So we come to Hebrews 12. It says, yes, there is a heavenly Jerusalem. So every person born again is in the heavenly Jerusalem. We are the authentic seed of Abraham, you know, because the spiritual was really the essence. And guys, Abraham perceived this. Because a promise made to Abraham, Bible lets us know that this promise was not fulfilled. You remember Hebrews 11? Okay, so Hebrews 11, we'll pick it again from where? Let's see, maybe the 13th verse. Okay, yes, Hebrews 11 and 13. It says, "All these people died still believing what God had promised them." So thank God they had prosperity. They enjoyed protection. They enjoyed increase. They had their children. I mean, their lives were frolickingly flourishing, if I could say that. They were blessed. I mean, these men were blessed. God shielded them. Imagine an entire, you know, community being afraid of one man called Isaac. After they chased him out, all right, Abimelech, you know, went to see him again and said, "Please make a pact with us. We didn't trouble you. Don't trouble us." An entire community being afraid of one man. They took Abraham's wife in Genesis 20. God shut the wombs of all the women in the house. Whoa. Whoa. And Bible is still saying that there was a major promise they never received. Could it be, guys? Could it be that we still need a revelation of the Holy Ghost in our generation? Because when we read through scripture, there's just so much hype. So much hype. See how Paul hyped it in Colossians chapter 1. That this was a mystery that was hidden in ages past. Now it's been revealed in our own time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's so become cliche. Cliche in the body of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know. Just cliche. Oh, that the eyes of our understandings may be enlightened. That you and I may come into a great revelation. And now, so Paul's praying in Ephesians 1, that you may know what you've received. That we may know what we've received, people. That we may know what we have received. That the eyes of our understandings may be enlightened. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Could you say that to yourself? That the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. That I do not become familiar with the riches of the word. The riches in the word, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I don't just commonize deeply spiritual things. Bible said all these men died, all these people died, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what God promised, but they saw it all from a distance. They welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads on earth. Listen, these are the people God literally told about a land. And they were still telling themselves, no, we're just nomads here. This can't be it. What? Imagine when their children came over many years later with Joshua to fight and divide and get the land. Yes, God needed double interpretation. They needed to be established as a people on the earth. They needed to be established, so they needed to have a place. A place to be related with, a place where the promises would be fulfilled. Jesus had to come. He had to come. They had to have owned a place. But eventually, this is all about the gospel. God is all about the gospel. It's all about global mission, global evangelism. I mean, it's all about how do we change and transform? How do we win back the world? So these men said to themselves, we're nomads, we're foreigners and nomads on the earth. Verse 14, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. 16 says, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Let me read down in King James. King James, you know, says, but now they desire a country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he had prepared for them a city. Remember that, you know, 22nd verse of the 12th chapter, just the following chapter. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. These men knew there was something. These men knew there was something. Verse 39 now says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us. That's our own time, our own generation. All right, that's the post-resurrection people. All right, for God has something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. So the fullness of the blessing came in our own time. The fullness of the blessing, the fullness of the increase, the fullness of the rewards of God came in our own time. Abraham didn't have the privilege of talking in tongues on this earth. By the time Jesus was resurrected, they moved on with him. It took them from, you know, from Abraham's bosom, clearing it all out, resurrecting with the saints. The book of Matthew lets us know that when Jesus resurrected, saints resurrected together with him. Obviously, it took them up with him to heaven. Because nobody could enter. They had to wait for us. So Jesus told the disciples, stay here till you're endued with power from on high. Wait till you receive the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Abraham waited for that promise, never got it. David, everybody knew there was a promise. They didn't have it. You and I now have this matchless, this mighty Holy Ghost. Oh, that we may walk in the revelation of who he is in us. Of who he is first. And who he is in us. And who we are in him. That our eyes open to see. To see the rich revelations of God's word. To see the rich revelations of God's word. So there's the promise, guys. And we see here clearly that they didn't receive it. So we go back to Galatians chapter 3, all right, says, oh, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Or like NLT says, we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. That we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost was the promise. The Holy Ghost was the promise. Acts 2, Peter and the rest of the guys had preached. And then these men were caught in their hearts. They were touched by what had been spoken. They were touched deeply. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So verse 37 of Acts 2 says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. So they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brethren, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Watch this, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We're talking about gifts here, guys. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. 39 says, "This promise is to you," using the word promise. "This promise is to you, to your children, to those that are far off, all who have been called by the Lord our God." This promise, this fullness of the blessing. So when you say, "Oh, I have the blessing of Abraham, the blessings of Abraham, I'm mine," you are saying you've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Someone says, "No, what I need is money, not the Holy Ghost." He was the one that had to brood over the earth in Genesis before God could speak. God couldn't function without him. Do we know who we're talking about? Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Jesus couldn't do ministry without him. Jesus couldn't do a miracle without him. Our God, Acts 10:38, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. The apostles couldn't function without him. He himself is the very spirit of life. He is the spirit of grace. He is the spirit of truth. He is the promise of the Father. Anywhere he is, there's abundance. Anywhere he is, there's reproduction. Anywhere he is, the spirit of God is God himself. He's not less in qualities or characteristics or attributes. He himself carries a fullness. He's the extension of the power of God. He is the power of God. There's no power of God outside of the Holy Ghost. Obed-Edom had the ark brought into his house. The ark represented the presence of God. I believe you remember that. In 3 months, the man prospered. Oh! Isaiah said, "When the Spirit is poured from on high, oh, that the wilderness will become a fruitful field, that the fruitful field will be accounted as a forest." When the Spirit is poured from on high, when the Spirit is poured, when the Spirit is poured, the wilderness will become a fruitful field. That means anywhere the Holy Ghost is, there's abundance. Anywhere the Holy Ghost is, there's prosperity. Anywhere the Holy Ghost is, there's increase. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel saw by the Holy Ghost that river flowing from the temple. Oh, he said, anywhere the river goes, there's life. Hallelujah. And that river is the Spirit. Because Jesus said, as the scripture said in John 7, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. The river is the Spirit. Bible in that John 7 now said, "This spake he of the Holy Ghost." The fullness of the blessings of Abraham. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, la basa tagamonde kisha balakaso telegos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have the blessing. I've got the fullness of the blessing. I've got a full, listen, bondages cannot stay. Anywhere the Spirit is, there's liberation. There's empowerment. There's great grace. So we see the fullness of the blessing of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 3. But we don't stop there now. We see also when Paul was beginning to talk about the law. In the 21st verse, let me pick it again here from the King James. Well, NIV also puts it well. It says, "Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if the law," watch this, "if the law had been given that could impact life, then righteousness would have come by the law." These are solid statements. Just one line, we could skip over them. He used the word life. He used the word righteousness. Those are two other gifts of God. Romans chapter 5 and 17 lets us know that as by one man's offense, death reigned, much more through the obedience of one man, those that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. They will reign. So the law couldn't give righteousness, but Jesus came and gave it as a gift. Even those who tried to attain righteousness couldn't get it with all their doings, but Jesus gave it as a gift. The other gift mentioned here, life. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Remember, Jesus said, I have come that you may have. It's a gift. Oh, it's so wonderful that for the next 3 weeks, we'll talk about the gifts of God. And from tomorrow, we'll begin with the gift of eternal life. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The gift of eternal life. Then I believe we'll move to righteousness. And then I just reserve again the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's the one working all this through us and in us. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your beautiful, beautiful gifts, your good gifts. Oh, we praise you. We receive revelation of these gifts as we delve into study, as we look into them. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Looking forward to having you join me tomorrow. Thank you for always being there and having me, you know, speak God's word to you every morning. I consider it a huge privilege. All right, please don't forget to follow on social media if you haven't. Please visit YouTube if you missed yesterday's Influence of Spirit. It was a wonderful one. All right, Lion Rex Nelson on YouTube. Watch the video. Leave a comment if you can. Just get blessed. Praise God. See you tomorrow.